If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Economic impact of Trump being back in office. As we heard in our markets update, generally Trump, the markets respond quite positively or bullishly to him. If he's nothing if not direct from a sector or policy perspective, whether or not you like the policy. So it's quite nice to make a market or make a trade or position your portfolio in response. It's not as fuzzy as coordinated global monetary policy and the like. Mamugeti, what is your initial take as President Trump takes his oath?
Hi, listeners. Initially, I think there was quite a bit of apprehension going into the elections, right? So we knew that the last time Trump came into office, it created quite a bit of volatility in markets. The dollar strengthened quite a bit. The rand weakened as a result. And, you know, in the period between when Trump was elected in 2016 and when he was inaugurated, markets were quite a bit unhappy. And it really speaks to what's happening to the dollar, speaks to what's happening to U.S. treasuries, because that really sets the price of money across the globe, and it puts some pressure on risky assets. We've seen pretty much the same thing play out between when he was elected in December and now. So what we're now trying to figure out is what do markets do next? And it's really going to depend again on what Trump does and what that does to U.S. asset prices, the U.S. dollar, most important, U.S. treasury levels, most important, because like I said, if those go up, then the price of money strengthens or increases. And as a result, a lot of asset prices come under pressure. Of course, what you could see is the Trump trade going through into quite strong U.S. economy, and that tends to create strength across, other economies as well, and asset prices could benefit from that. But that's really what we're looking at. There isn't as much of a direct impact. So if you look at what Trump has spoken about, he's spoken a lot about immigration. That's a problem for the U.S. It could lead to higher U.S. inflation. He's spoken a lot about tariffs, but that tariff story is concentrated around China, around Mexico, and that's why Mexico prices are seeing quite a bit of weakness as a result. He spoke a little bit about Canada, but there's nothing in there about Africa. So whatever it is that we experience is going to be derivative of what happens to the assets in the U.S. itself.
For sure. Now, as you were speaking about the pricing of assets and the price of money, Jerome Powell, if I'm correct, has said he will not, even if asked, he wouldn't step down if Trump asked him to. But, you know, it seems as though the sense that we're getting out of the FOMC is that there's a leveling out of concern around wages as well as inflation. And maybe we won't see that much more monetary easing. Is that the sense that you get?
I think, that the biggest issue around the policy proposals that Trump has put forward is that it's made people concerned about a new resurgence in inflation in the U.S. So if inflation starts to accelerate, then it creates, or at least it takes away the room for monetary policy easing there. If you're Jerome Powell, your mandate is clear. Your mandate is inflation. Your mandate is full employment. The U.S. economy is at full employment. If you kick out migrants, the employment situation is going to get even tighter. So that's the first thing. The second thing is if you kick out migrants to the extent that Trump is talking about, if you increase tariffs, and that will be even a more direct play on prices, then you're going to increase prices. Inflation is going to go up. Again, it's going to make it really hard for the Fed to tighten policy. Over and above that, if this the policy orientation is around more pro-growth type of policy, again, then the Fed space, or at least the need for the Fed to cut rates in the U.S. is going to be reduced. So if you're Jerome and you're not responding to policy or to politics and to what the president is saying, but you're looking at what the economy is doing, it would make sense, therefore, that under this administration, the need to cut rates would be quite a bit less than what it would have been under another administration.
Okay, that's a very helpful perspective. Mamukete, your mandate obviously is global, and you touched a little bit earlier on China, who I think is a little bit more, or the impact on China, who I think is a bit more of a concern for South African investors than maybe Canada and Mexico. The potential for tariff increases, or the potential for just a heightened tension or aggression between the two countries. What's your take?
I think before you even talk to China, on the whole, if the U.S. starts to increase tariffs and they start some kind of a trade war, it will create ripple effects across the whole global economy, and it would start to put a lot of question marks around how strong growth can actually be. We need to remind ourselves also that we're dealing with a global economy that's already quite weak. I think the IMF says growth is expected to grow, global growth is expected to be around 3.3% this year. If you look back to pre-19, the average was closer to 3.8. So the global growth is not strong as it is. European growth is basically in the toilet. They talk about Germany, which is the export hub of Europe. Trump is talking about increasing tariffs on Europe as well. And that growth is already quite weak. So before you can even talk about the specifics, which is China, whatever the case may be, what it does suggest is that there could be quite a big disruption to global trade. And if you have global trade decelerating, global growth is going to be weaker. And all of us are going to feel it. So, outside of China. Then when you start to talk about China more specifically, we know that the Chinese economy that Trump is dealing with is one that's quite a bit weaker already than what we're used to. I think, growth in China is expected to be sub 5 for the foreseeable future. And this is an economy that was growing at 8, 9, 10% historically. So you're not dealing with an economy that's particularly strong to start with. As it is, I think globally growth has been quite weak, and South African growth has also been quite weak because China has its own domestic problems.
Correct.
Before you even come at it with like tariffs or whatever the case may be. So the heightened tensions, increased policy risk, increased risk to trade policy globally definitely does not help. And in an environment where you inject that level of uncertainty and potentially actually execute on some of the proposals that that Trump is talking about, we are looking at a much tougher 2025, I would expect, than what we saw in 2024 for global growth and therefore for South Africa as well.
I'm really glad you brought us to the broader global question, particularly the European question. Since 2011, I think it was, with Austria, we've been seeing this further rightward movement of governments. Croatia just voted in a more right government. I think Austria did as well. And we're seeing, and I suppose Germany is moving in that direction. It tends to be coupled with an inward-looking policy, more protectionist is the word I'm looking for. Do you think there's room maybe either at the G20 or in some kind of, at Davos or in upcoming G20 conversations for a sense of collective discussion around the risk of this protectionism? It's quite an interesting moment. The tougher it gets economically, the higher the political or at least the populist movements in each person's country, each country gets, the harder right the governments tend to move, and it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. To what extent is there room for there to be some mature discussion about this, either at Davos or over the year that we're in the presidency of G20?
I think everybody would be praying for some room to open up and, to try and have a more, a more constructive discussion, I suppose.
Yes, collaborative.
Would be what we're looking for. Yes, exactly.
As they say, collaboration in the intelligent age. Let's hope.
Exactly. Unfortunately, you are right that this global integration, this global integrated era that we've just been through, at some point someone was saying, the world is flat, has created some winners and losers in each of these economies and has created very, very difficult politics. I think this is where you have to see, global integration to the extent that you have global trade as one of the pillars. On the other side, there's immigration with people moving in and displacing local workers, etc. Those two things cannot be separated. So within the sort of like receiving economies, they're receiving trade goods, they're receiving immigrants. Obviously, the loser population, the people that are made worse off, has increased quite a bit. And there is it is a moment where politically, the world has got to decide how you deal with this integration. And it's a difficult moment, like you point out, across the board. So you are correct that, as global growth has slowed down, the trickle down from integration, et cetera, has lessened. And as that has happened, people see less and less benefits from integration, and they're asking for a more inward-looking perspective. I think, on some level, even when you're talking about Trump, I've been thinking, Trump can make all these announcements and say, well, we're going to go hard on immigration, we're going to increase tariffs, etc. But ultimately, it's going to be negative for growth in the U.S. at some point. And at some point, it'll start to tell on U.S. equity markets, because U.S. corporate profits have actually benefited from, increased global trade, correct, increased immigration, etc. And at that point, I think, is where however rightward-leaning at Trump and, inward-looking at Trump would like to be, when that moment of reckoning actually arrives and the company profits start to suffer and equity markets correct and it leads to a slowdown in his own economy, he would probably not go as far as extending that kind of approach. So I think that there's a happy medium somewhere where you need to be a little bit more inward looking than what you've historically been, but you can't extend it too far because it eventually will hurt your economy as well. And that's just the reality, that regardless of how rightward leaning you'd like to be, the fact of the matter is there's only so far you can go. You can't put that genie back in the bottle.
Absolutely. Mamuketile Jane, I always appreciate your insights. Thank you so much. Global market strategist at Standard Bank CIB, giving us a perspective there that I think is a very balanced one. Really do appreciate it. Now, we were going to turn our attention to DC with Pearl Matebe, as I mentioned earlier. We'll try and get in touch with her a bit later. She is inside the rotunda at the moment and the oath of office for President Donald J. Trump is slightly delayed. So we'll hopefully catch up with her a bit later. We can't be in the background of the earth saying welcome to Kaya 95.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.